in all directions that appear green and healthy. Thus, they resemble a man who has undergone severe austerities for material gain and has achieved his end. Or such a man is strong, healthy, and good-looking. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
The greenery of the rainy season is but a temporary show. It looks very pleasant, but we must remember that it will not last. Similarly, there are persons who undergo severe austerities for some material gain. But those who are sane avoid this. Severe austerities for temporary gains are simply a waste of time and energy. Material loss and gain are destined in accordance with the formation of each particular body. There are 8,400,000 species of life, and each type of body is destined to enjoy and suffer in accordance with its particular formation. The bodily enjoyments and suffering of a wealthy man's son are different from those of a poor man's son. Although no one undergoes severe austerity to obtain distress, it comes to us uncalled. Similarly, the happiness we are destined to enjoy will come upon us even without our desiring it. Even though we may be able to avoid distress and artificially enjoy some material happiness by temporary achievements, this represents no factual gain in life. Our duty to is to achieve permanent happiness and eternal life. Permanent happiness. And it is for this purpose only, for the ultimate gain, that we should undertake all sorts of austerities and penances. This ultimate gain is possible to achieve in the human form of life. Permanent happiness is possible when one is free from material sources of happiness, for continuation of material bondage, which means continuation of the threefold miseries. Human life is meant for ending these miseries. We should not try to be beautiful like seasonal flowers or greenery that flourish in the rainy season, but are weary in the winter, to be enlivened by the clouds of ignorance overhead and to enjoy the sight of temporary greenery is not at all desirable. One should try to live in the unlimited clear sky overflooded with the rays of sun and the moon. That is what we actually desire. A life of freedom in eternity, complete knowledge, and a blissful atmosphere is the heart's desire of an enlightened soul. We should undertake all sorts of penances and austerities to attain that permanent source of happiness. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada says we can avoid distress artificially by some temporary adjustment like that. So many stories about this. One man was a rather prosperous merchant in Alifkabad, or Hasbinbad, right? Hasbinbad, something like that. And one night he was walking home, you know, from his business, feeling very happy, and heat was coming down, he had a good turban on, and he turned the corner, and there was death personified looking at him with his big sickle to cut his head off and take his life. But death hesitated for 1 second, and then was able to escape like that. And he ran away, and he got a horse, and he ran out of town, left the town, you know, left no trace, didn't even talk to his family. And he rode all night, and the horse died, you know, some distance from a distant city. So he got off, and he walked himself and came into the city early in the morning before anybody was up. And there was some sunlight. And he was thinking, oh, wow, escaped, like that. But he turned the corner, and there was death personified, and he killed him. And the man said, I saw you yesterday, but you didn't take me. Why was that? The man said, well, actually, I didn't come for you in that city, you know. And I was surprised to see you there because I was supposed to pick you up in this city, you know, this morning. And I didn't think how you could possibly get here on time. Yeah. So you may think, oh, this is just a edifying moral story. But it's a true story. I heard it's true. One young man was in Europe. And he was very intelligent. He had developed a good-sized fortune from his family inheritance and good work. And he saw that World War II was coming. He could see this was going to happen like that. You know? So he gradually sold all of his industrial enterprises and things like that and, you know, collected his money properly. Then he went to the South Pacific and bought some nice place, a little island there with a beautiful view of the tropical sea. And thought, okay, I'll just stay here with my family and a few friends until this war is over. And depending how it goes, I'll integrate myself with the victors like that. A little closer? Yeah. End up from here? Yeah. Yeah. So, do you know what the name of the island was? Iwo Jima. You ever hear of this island? Yeah. That's where the entire Japanese Empire was, went across the Pacific, met the American Empire, and that was it. That was where they were going to have it out. There's this very famous picture of the Americans raising the flag like that. Soldiers, that was on Iwo Jima. And neither side was going to back down. That was kind of the crucial point. And, you know, day after day, you know, bombers came and planes came and troops invaded and, you know, big battleships blasted away. These battleships are as long as downtown Boise. The shells are as long as this room, you know, about this big around. And they shoot something like about 25, 30 miles, you know, on the horizon like that. They have to shoot them sideways. Otherwise, when they fire, the whole turret will just rip off the deck of the ship like that. It has to use the recoil of the ship. You know, boom, whoosh, 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 like that and so on. So these are landing, blasting away. So every square foot of this property was annihilated. And somehow the man, he survived with his life and made it out like that, you know. So another story, Prabhupada says, you know, we may be able to avoid distress and artificially enjoy some material happiness by temporary achievement. Yeah? This represents no factual gain in life. Our duty is to achieve permanent happiness like that. So we can try so many ways to temporarily adjust things, but everybody has their destiny. You believe that? You think your wealth is already determined? Yeah, have you seen that, really? Yeah, no? Oh, I'll drink coffee, you know, yeah. To be able to stay up at night to study for my examination so I can place well, drink a lot of coffee and my liver and body is annihilated, right, you know. Then to calm down, I'll smoke a cigarette, like that, you know, coffee and nicotine in this way, you know. There's a story in India, there was one place where there's not much water. And everybody had to go, you know, to get pump water to bring it for drinking like that and everything. So two brothers thought, we'll dig a well here and make good money like that, you know. It's a true story. So they're digging the well, maybe, I don't know, maybe like, you know, 30, 40 feet down, which is a long way if you're inside of a well like that. The whole thing could collapse on you and just, you know, you can't dig your way out like that. So they're trying to stack it up. And one brother was down inside, and, you know, and the other guy would pull the dirt up and like that. And about every hour, the other brother would pull the other brother out, and he would have boiled chana dal, chickpeas, and fresh raw onions to eat like that. Like that. He'd go back down again. Digging like that, you know. So onion and garlic, or Ayurveda, have a very downward effect. You're giving pressure on these lower organs, sexual organs, and yeah, produces energy like that, you know. But it kills you very quickly. Red pepper and black pepper are kind of rajagun, this area. And ginger, adrak, is sattvic, like that, you know. So we can artificially, through tea, coffee, cigarettes, marijuana, opium, caffeine, what's it got? Opium, heroin, cocaine. It's a big list, right, of all these things like that. You know? So we can artificially put pressure on the senses and get some energy, but we die, you know, younger than we were supposed to die. We enjoyed the same amount of money, the same amount of food, the same amount of rest. We've enjoyed it, you know. And what's the whole benefit like that? What's the whole profit like that? You know? What's the greatest classic in Western literature? The most famous,
Shakespeare.
Yeah, Shakespeare. His most famous play by Shakespeare. Yeah, to be or not to be. That is the. You don't know? It's pretty famous. Even in China, everybody else, the people know this. But he has the same problem when the drama starts. There's some guys up on the towers, on the parapets, the walls of the palace, wherever it is, someplace in Scotland. And it's very icy and cold and dangerous, and they're keeping their night watch. And then they see the ghost, you know, the former king coming there, and he's calling them and says, bring my son, bring my son. So the news reaches his son, who is Hamlet, and they say there's a ghost up. He goes there, and are you sure? This and that is cold. We've been here 3 hours already. And they say, look, there he is. You know? So he goes, he talks to the ghost, and the ghost says, your uncle killed me. You know, and now his uncle has become the king, and he stole my wife, like that, and so on. You know, you have to get revenge for me. Because before he dies, usually a Kshatriya does penance and austerity. to get free from all the, you know, lascivious, lusty things he's done, all the things he's had to suffer for killing people, right or wrong. You know. But he wasn't able to do that. He says, I was taken with my sins full in bloom, like the month of May. And now I'm forced to suffer for some time in hell. And I'm not allowed to tell you what goes on there. Because if I did, your eyes would bulge from their sockets, your hair would stand on end, and the blood would run cold in your veins to hear about it. Like that. Yeah. So Hamlet's thinking, well, what is this, true or not? Maybe it's the devil trying to trick me into killing people, my uncle and people like that, you know. And he says, time is out of joint. Oh, cursed spite, that I was ever born to set it right. Would it be that this too solid flesh would melt, dissolve, and disappear like morning dew? I could just get free from this. You know? So he doesn't know what to do. But he says, yeah, it was his uncle was like a donkey compared to a racehorse compared to his father, like Hyperion to a satyr, you know, I think. So. And he says, my mother, you know, she married my uncle so quickly. He said the cooked meats from the funeral feast, right? Yeah, the cooked meats from the funeral feast did but do double duty at the wedding feast. How quick was she remarried? The cooked meats of the funeral feast did but do double duty as cold cuts at the wedding feast. Reheat those kitri. We use it for the marriage. It is over with, you know. So he was. He had to chastise his mother in very, very, you know, unpleasant language, which she was, called her what she had become. He had to kill his uncle. Just like Arjuna, right? He had to kill his own cousins, his grandfather, his teacher. He also wanted to avoid the situation, go away from it. And Hamlet wasn't sure. Well, maybe I can't be sure. So how can I do it? I can't do it. Not sure. You know? But some players came there, some actors, when Yatra Party came. You know, and he said, can you put on this play? And it was one play about the same thing had happened like that. So they put it on. And in the play, the king is saying, I'm getting old, and you're, my dear queen, you're kind of young. And maybe after I'm dead, you shouldn't lament too much. You should get remarried and enjoy life like that. And she said, they say that a woman who remarries after her husband's death kills the first husband twice. Right? Lock me away from all sunshine. Let me die in a horrible place. I'll never get remarried ever again like this and that. You know? And then he asked his mother, what do you think of this? Methinks the lady does protest too much. So she's, you know. But then it actually goes to the point where the king is resting in the play. And his brother comes and pours his poison in his ear like that. And then the real king becomes more and more irritated and agitated and stands up and kind of drunkenly and, you know, says a horrible play and goes out. And then Hamlet's sure, yeah, you know, he killed him that way. I know. And so he's going down there, and there's his uncle, Claudius. He's kneeling, he's praying. You know. He says, well, how can I pray sincerely? Can I say, please forgive me for my offense? You know? When I still have those things for which I committed the crime, my crown, my queen, how can I say, please forgive me when I still possess these things like that? Yeah. You can lie in this world, but in that world you're forced out of your own mouth to confess what you've done. You know there's twofold power in prayer. Praying has two forces, right? Yeah. To protect us before we fall down, right? And once we've fallen down, to help us rise up again. Okay, let me bend down and try and pray like that, you know, see if I can do something, you know. So the Hamlet comes along and sees his uncle there without any kind of protection. He thinks, now might I do it pat. Yeah? I can do it very easily like that. You know, kill him and revenge my father. But, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chajati anti kalevaram. You didn't know Hamlet knew Sanskrit, did you? Tam tam eva te kontaya sadata bhava bhavitaha. Whatever one's bhava is the time of death, that's where he goes. So I'm my only father's son. I have my father's only son, and I'm gonna send his murderer while he's praying, and then he'll go to heaven, right? This is not revenge. This is salary and bonus, like that. Let me wait up sword. Let me know a more horrid intent. Let me catch him when he's engaged in, you know, catch him when he's engaged in gambling and swearing and drinking, or engaged in incest twixt the sheets. Like that. Yeah. Then I'll kill him and his head will turn to hell, and his feet will kick at heaven as he goes to that hell as black as his own heart, like that. So he's using it in a very intense sense. They knew these things. And then, so he goes away, okay, you know. Then his uncle says, oh, I can't do it. You know, I'm still thinking about these things in this world that I fought for, my greed, my thoughts, you know, stay here. My words are go there, you know, go there, my thoughts stay here. Words without heaven, words without thoughts to heaven never go. It's a nice phrase, huh? Words without thoughts to heaven never go. This is the ninth offense to the holy name. Inattentive chanting, like that. So you have to meditate. You have to bring the mind under control. That's a form of sacrifice to God. Very good sacrifice to bring the mind under control. So it goes on like this. The Hamlet's trying to figure out what to do. And then his uncle figures out that he knows and he's in danger. So he has two guys, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, take him on a boat back to college in France. And they're supposed to kill him on the way. They toss him off the boat. And they get killed instead because the message says kill these guys. So they die. And Hamlet's tossed right back up by the water back on the shore again. He can't avoid it. So his friend Horatio's there and he talks to him and they're walking around. They see these grave diggers, you know. They're digging up all this stuff and they say, wow, this is really disgusting. He looks up his head. Ah, alas, poor Yorkel is famous too. I knew him well. He was the king's jester. And making joking like that. And now look at him. This, you know, yeah, you know. And he tells Horatio, he says that it all comes to this. You know, and you can see from this that, you know, that even a king, right? A king, he dies, and his body becomes earth. A worm eats the body. Some poor beggar makes a worm on a fish hook. He catches some fish. He cooks that fish and eats it, like that. And this way, you can see that the body of a king can pass through the guts of a beggar, like that. And all like that. So very full of philosophy, full of philosophy. Yeah. But the very, very important soliloquy again is he's trying to think whether to do it or not. And he says, to be or not to be. That is the question. To take arms against a sea of Kauravas. Perchance to fight. You know, to die. To dream. Ah, but there's the rub. There's the problem. Because who knows what dreams will come after we've shuffled off this mortal coil. Gives pause to reflection. The native hue of resolution is sicklied over with a paler cast of thought. Who would fardels bear? I mean, it's like wood for, you know, for selling, for burning. Who would fardels bear? The proud man's fall down. Who would suffer all these things? If with a simple sharp sword he could make his own peace and quiet like that. You know? And thus conscience doth make cowards of us all. And the native hue of resolution is sicklied over with a paler cast of thought. The same thing, Arjuna thinks, let me just go and just fight and everything else, but he sees it's so, I have to kill these people I love, I'm related to, you know. Let me just go away, commit social suicide. But same thing, I take my mind with me, right? I take my karma with me, like that. I can't avoid this. My thoughts will come, my dreams will come, you know, like that. Yeah? Yeah. So finally he decides, comes to his conclusion, all of us have a destiny, right? Everybody has a destiny, right? Yeah. Even though it may be roughly cut, right? Yeah. We all have a destiny, rough hewn though it may be. Yeah. The mode of ignorance, you're forced. The trees have no choice. They have to stand outside. Doesn't matter what the weather is, they can't come inside, right? The dogs, when they smell certain things, are forced to react. They'll kill their best friend. They'll do this and that. Yeah. So in Tamagun, we're forced. Yeah. In Rajagun, there's some choices, but they're difficult. Right? You're working for Micron. You're working Micron here? Okay. Micron is readjusting, changing the departments, like this and that. You discover, for example, that Sugopi is going to die unless he has some surgery that will cost about $115,000. Okay, now Micron is readjusting this way and that way, and some money slides this way and that way, and nobody quite takes charge, but you know nobody's going to notice it, and there's like $65,000 there. What do you do? This is passion. You know, friendship, family, these kind of things. It's very difficult to do the right thing in the mode of passion. Mode of ignorance, you have no choice. In the mode of passion, you got choices, but it's hard to take them, you know. In the mode of goodness, okay, you know, now you got a choice. And it's your choice. And that's how you make your new karma, in those moments like that. One time I was on the altar in San Francisco, our temple there, It's a very big altar. Gurutai is, you know, it's about three times the size of the one here. And usually at night time, after the Sandhya Artik, you know, the three pujaris come, we train to change the dress and offer the Lord a new dress. It's very nice, very beautiful experience. But tonight one pujari didn't show up, didn't call anybody, so two of us were doing work for three people and rushing and hitting Krishna while you're moving, and excuse me, and it's very frustrating, you know. So I came off the altar at 8:30, other pujaris in the last Shaina Artik, and I was going to go right into the prasadam room and drown my sorrows in a big bowl of halava, you know. But I didn't want to do it because I knew I wouldn't sleep properly, I wouldn't get up, I couldn't do my job properly. I didn't want to do it. But I couldn't control my senses. I knew I couldn't control it. So I prayed to God, "Oh God, please help me," you know. And then, okay. Telephone rang in the lobby and someone said, "Oh, Hanuman, there's a phone call for you," you know. So now I had something to do, some way to engage my senses. It was somebody actually I thought would be nice talk, conversation. So now it was, okay, halaba, telephone, halaba, telephone, halaba, telephone. And that time, I made the choice for the telephone. You know? So I went and talked on it. It was a nice thing. When I got out, I went to the prasada room, all the halaba was finished. A little piece about this big, one tulsi leaf, I took that. And yeah, I felt a little bit disturbed, but yeah, I went to sleep nicely and got up early and like that. So, you know. So that's how karma works, you know. We have choices sometimes like that, and that's how we can make our destiny. You know? So rough hewn though it may be, you have your karma and your destiny. Some things are flexible. You look at your chart, your horoscope. Well, this is fixed. This is fixed. One girl in our temple many years ago, a long time ago, devotee was an astrologer. And he told me, he said, you know, one of the girls came to me, and he looked at her chart, and she had this really intense influence from Venus in about 5 years, and also somebody else, who said Saturn or something. He said basically it really meant she was going to have a pregnancy outside of marriage like that. You know? And she said, you can protect yourself this way, that way. You can tell everybody to watch you, everything else. You can be ready everywhere else. But, you know, honestly speaking, it's some really real karma you have for some reason or something you've done in the past like that. And if you avoid it, okay. You know. Said, but after that, shiny, you'll have a strong desire to have an abortion like that. But that's optional. Don't do it. Yeah? So sometimes we're forced to do things which we don't want to do. We just can't help ourselves. You know? You see this. You cannot help yourself. You did something in the past. You know. But then sometimes, yeah, it's flexible like that. You know. So try to understand our destiny. Try and, you know, do the best we can. But at the same time, too, we can't, you know, unnecessarily strive for happiness. All that happens is you get, you know, you stretch the spring. And what happens? It goes back the opposite way, you know. So accept your destiny. Understand what it is by different sources like that. And within that, you know, use it all for Krishna. One devotee, Buddhimanta, right? This is the trick. Krishna tells Arjuna, you're attached to your karma. You can't give it up. You can't go to the forest. Do it. Fight this fight. But not because you want to regain your wife's honor so she'll flatter you and thank you. Oh, thank you, Arjuna. You're so wonderful. No. Fight, regain Draupadi's honor because she's my devotee. Draupadi was trying to save herself. Right? In the beginning, she was trying to save herself by her own strength. You know, back off, you rascal. Leave me alone. Like that. And so, you know, Dushashana is pulling on her sari and this and that. And she's like going to show her strength as a, you know, Kshatriya girl, you know. And in heaven, you know, Radha, Lakshmi is talking to Krishna and says, help her, she's calling for you, you know. He says, yes, but she's only calling with one hand, right? The other one, she's hanging on like that, you know, going to show she can do it. And I don't want to disturb her vanity or whatever like that, you know. So finally, Draupadi realized this, yeah, I can't do this. These guys are like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, you know, 30-inch biceps. And this is, yeah, really helpless like that, you know. Yeah. Very, Prabhupada says the only option she had, if they'd been successful for a respectable girl like that, was to kill herself. It's the only way she could have retained her honor after having been publicly humiliated like that, you know. He says, oh, Krishna, I am rapidly drowning in this ocean of the Kauravas. Hey, Govinda, right? Very famous. So she just let go of both hands, put her both hands in the air and said, one time. Didn't chant 16 rounds. Didn't, one time. Hey, Govinda. But had the feeling, that intensity. So then Krishna said, all right, Dushyajana, you're not playing with the girls anymore. Now we'll see how you do. Like that. So off came the red sari. Off came the blue sari. Off came the grieve sari, mauve, kali green. pop up pink stars like that, blush yellow. Yeah. So she's looking at the soul. That's nice. That's a nice one. Like that. Yeah, like that, you know. So in the end, you know, Krishna saved her at that, you know. So, you know, she was one. Her vow was. She said, "I have no husbands. Right? If I had any husbands, they were real men. They would have protected me. So I'm a widow." So she refused to tie her hair up. And so Arjuna was really pushed to satisfy her. And this is Maya, in the mode of goodness, like that. But he couldn't give up. So Krishna said, "All right, you know, do your duty. You're attached to doing your duty. You're attached to your karma. But don't do it for these selfish purposes. Even in the mode of goodness." You know, in the end, she told them, "Look, so many reasons for not molesting me, but in the end, you shouldn't do this. I'm a devotee of Sri Krishna." Ha ha ha! Where is he now? So in the end, they knew that it was Krishna they were insulting and challenging. So he said, "Therefore, you should regain her honor, not because she's your wife, but because she's my devotee." That's the whole difference in Bhagavad Gita. That's the whole difference in consciousness. Begin Arjuna's fighting to regain the honor of his wife. But other women are going to have to cry if he does that. That's karma. And on the other hand, okay, I'll regain Draupadi's honor because, you know, she's Krishna's devotee like that. And I'll give everything the results to Krishna. My children grew up nicely, go become devotees. I become wealthy, it's for Krishna. I become powerful, it's for you. You know, Duryodhana wants to ride on the big elephant afterwards. Everybody throws flowers like that. Duryodhana, Duryodhana, if he wins. Arjuna says, "No, Krishna should ride on the elephant. And I'll carry him while I'm guiding through the streets like that." You know, higher satisfaction. One devotee, Buddhimanta stories. He was, I think the first book I got was probably maybe a devotee, was by him at University of California, selling books like that. But he was really passionate guy. He wanted to take karate lessons, right? So our GBC secretary, Hansa Duda, said, all right, you call Hanuman Swami. Okay. Said, you have a black belt in karate, right? Yeah, I do, you know. You know where all the karate schools are in this area, don't you? So, well, yeah, I do. Yeah, I know. He's a very intelligent guy. You know? And I walk around chanting my round, looking in the windows and stuff like that. You know? And some of them are really good. Peter Ralston was one of the greatest karate men on earth. His studio there was, he was an unbelievable guy like that. He's the kind of guys who break solid bricks through pieces of tofu like that. You know? Really, it's like, you know, you don't mess with these guys. One time, one devotee, Janardan, he was like a wrestler in college. He was, you know, he started taking lessons from him. And he said at one time he had five, you know, strong young guys surround him, his students. He said, "All right, when I say go, you all attack me." You know? He said, "Go." And Janardan went 1,001. He didn't get to two. And all five guys were on the ground and took a couple of seconds to get their breath to get up like that. And they were like competent people. It was, okay. So anyway, I took him around all these schools. He liked one school. He liked Taekwondo. Taekwondo is a real hard, simple, straightforward style like that, Korean. And the instructor's name was Roger Bliss. So one time after working out there, we were driving back to the temple, and he pulled in front of a liquor store, ran inside, and, "What are you doing?" You know? And he came out with a full liter, right, of ice-cold 7-Up. Right? Then he showed me how he could drink the entire thing in one breath. Like that, you know, doop, 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 doop. One entire liter of ice cold 7-Up in one breath, doop, 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 doop. And we're perspiring, everything else. You know? But you can imagine what kind of effect it has on your body. You know, like that. So he finished the whole thing. He said, "You know, if I hadn't become a devotee, this would have been beer." Like that, right? So that was it. Krishna takes our karma. You know? Our karma is in the mode of ignorance, and he moves it to a point where it's useful, like that. You know, he would go out in Los Angeles and distribute books in the parking lots with the hot sun on the asphalt and hundreds of cars stopping people. And his daily diet was one tub of sour cream, one jar of peanut butter, and one head of raw cauliflower. Like that. Yeah. And he was enthusiastic. He was, he died of brain cancer at 38 years old, too. Yeah. So this is a kshatriya, right? Live fast, die young, and have a good-looking corpse. Right? Yeah. So he distributed more books and made more people devotee than probably any of us in our whole lifetime like that, you know. So Krishna doesn't need all like Vyasadevas. He needs sentimental ladies. He needs, you know, careless, reckless warriors. But it adjusted enough, you know, so it fits within the range of Krishna karma. We can dovetail our activities to him. Then it all becomes immortal. Everything we're doing has an immortal result like that. It's no longer connected to this world. Karma is like taking a full swing on a golf ball in a tile bathroom. It's going to hit you eventually, right? You know? Unless it goes out the window. You know, it's like, you know, 8,400,000 doors in front of you, the time of death. And you're going forward at them at 145,000 miles an hour, and you're going to find the one door, because all the rest just bring you right back in again. Like that, you know? Okay, where is it? You know? Yeah. One time we were flying from Seattle to Sacramento, and we got down near Sacramento, and all this heavy cloud covering was Northern California. And the runway out there is all just like muddy rice fields on both sides like that, you know? And we're going down. Put up your table, fasten your seatbelt. We're going down. It's faster. There's still clouds outside. And I counted the last few seconds before the airplane landed. It was like 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. We hit the runway like that. So the pilot came out of this fog and had 4 seconds, you know, to adjust like that. If the runway is just 35 feet to the west, you know, it's left, you can't adjust. You're finished like that.
Oops.
You know? Yeah. So it's coming down on instruments, you know. Radar guidance, you know, very tight control like that, you know, so on. But that same way, we have to become so expert in devotional service, so expert in serving Krishna, our yoga, the time of death, we can pick that one door out of 8,400,000 doors that Maya is offering. You know? Yeah. Come here, boy. What do you want? You know? Yeah. So sometimes devotional service is described as like walking on a tightrope. The flying Walindas, you know them? They can walk, the children walk on tight ropes. As soon as they can first walk, they have them walking in little tight ropes this high off the ground. And so one time they were preparing for a big performance in the Astrodome in Texas, like that. And the rope was 50 feet off the ground. This is maybe like about 15 feet here, right? So maybe measure it again, 15 feet more. Another 15 feet. It was about 50 feet in the air. It's like sure death if you fall. So they're up there, what this trick was, they're rehearsing it, you know, before the thing. Two bicycles, right, going back and forth, and balanced on their heads was a bar, another unicycle on that one, and then on that guy's head was one girl balancing like that. In the end, it was like that. Two guys were like that. She was up like that, you know. You'll pay them a lot of money to see this. They do this all the time, you know, and so on. But no net. That's what makes it exciting, you know. So at that point, somebody was filming with a home camera, and somebody turned off the lights. So the grandfather who had a broken back, who was recovering, had recovered from that walking, said, okay, turn on the lights. You know, he's talking over the microphone to them. He says, Bobby, Sammy, you okay? Yes, Papa. Michael, you okay? Yes, Papa. Susie? Yes, Grandy, Grandpa. Turn on the lights. You know. So for 85 seconds, they were in absolute darkness. This girl was balancing on her head, on her older brother's head, on her two brothers, 50 feet off the world, thing in absolute dark. That's right. Now, getting out of the material world is more difficult than that. Hey, 8,000,004, you make one slip, you fall from bhakti yoga, but we have a net. You know, we don't risk. And that's varna ashram dharma. Be a decent human being. You know? If I go into some liquor store like this and ask for, hey, give me a fifth of, you know, a Cutty Shark red label, you know, probably even the guy there is going to say, I'll sell it to you, but can I ask a question or something? Maybe like that. Yeah. The same way, if you're sannyasi, you're protected by the severe austerities and this kind of thing. Married family, husband and wife are protecting each other, you know. You go to some party, you start joking with some lady, notice your wife is looking at you. Okay, so when I get home, I'm going to get some. Oh, you liked her jokes, didn't you? Same way, you know. So husband and wife, you protect each other, like that, and so on. So varna ashram and children are protected by their parents, you know, like that. And also children protect their parents, too, because you think, well, we can't waste this money. We have these little kids to take care of. They depend on us, you know. So if you fall from bhakti yoga, strict bhakti yoga, then you hit varna ashram and you can get back up again and perfect it. Because by nature, we can do it. The soul is perfect, right? It just takes a matter of practice. They did this. They stayed for 85 seconds balancing in their head like that. Because it takes practice, it takes conditioning, and you can do it. You can purify yourself like that. You know? And that's the only way to get out of this karma like that, is engage in devotional service. You know? As I go, mam chayo biacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatit jaitan brahma buyaya kalpate by abhicharena bhakti, undivided devotion to Krishna. You know, you need to get out of this thing like that. You go past these modes that are always changing, producing all these bodies like that. You know? The ultimate gain is possible to achieve in the human form of life. Permanent happiness is possible when one is free from material sources of happiness. You know? For continuation of material bondage means continuation of threefold miseries. Human life is meant for ending these miseries. We should not try to be beautiful like seasonal flowers or greenery that flourishes in the rainy season, but are weary in the winter. To be enlivened by the cloud of ignorance overhead and enjoy the sight of temporary greenery is not at all desirable. One should try to live in the unlimited clear sky over flooded with the rays of sun and the moon. So, you know, nice house, nice car, nice associates, nice clothes, nice food, all these things, they're okay. You know, we should live a healthy life. We shouldn't live austerities to hurt ourselves. No, that's also not correct. Krishna's supplying everything we need in the proper amount. Okay. There'll always be a little push, right? A little bit of sand and the sweet rice, you know? Because he doesn't want us to be comfortable here, become attached, like in the prison. On the prison, there'll always be a little bit of problem, even if you're a very good prisoner. You might say, yeah, this is so I keep, you know, keep pushing. Okay, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. But it won't be that bad. And we'll be very happy with our actual progress in spiritual life. Learning how to serve Krishna again like that. You know? So we should be careful of this, because America is designed to tempt you, right? To tempt you for all these things. Nothing else to do, so I'll go shopping. You know? Yeah? Yeah. Besides work and school, America spent all their time, most of their time, almost all of it, either in television, that kind of thing, or malls, shopping, those two. There's a mall in Minnesota that covers something like 25 acres or something. You know, it's all this thing like that. You know? So we have to keep a strong program of hearing, chanting, you know, association with other devotees. You know? Go have a nice temple, maintain it nice and healthy, go there for bigger functions, festivals. Then once a week, have a program at your house. And that way you can always remember why you're making the money, everything else like that. If you're making good money, okay. Give it all to Krishna. What does that mean? Well, Krishna has so many things he needs to take care of. And he needs to feed poor people. Okay. With prasadam, right? Your family members are also devotees. You have to help them. Yeah? You can publish so many books, make so many movies, so many things to enlighten people about who they are. It's amazing. It's very simple for people. Once you get a little bit of idea, most people, they, in America especially, most people are religious in America. There's studies. About 87% of all Americans believe in God. Right? But people who control the media, bookstores, newspaper, television, only about like 45% believe in God. So the ambience is secular. You know? But it's not what people believe like that. You talk to them, a little bit of impetus. You know? In your workplace, you put something on the wall, people ask you about it, talk about it, start to reveal their consciousness. You know? Invite you to go to their church, like that. Say, okay, nice to go. You know, see how you're worshiping God. Well, it's not. You know, and then they understand, oh, you're vegetarian. Why are you vegetarian? Oh, you know. Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. I know the Bible says the same thing. I always wondered about that. You know, So very, very nice opportunities. And these books, of course, are the basis of everything. This is Light of the Bhagavat was especially written for a conference in Japan. So it has a very, very nice intellectual aspect to it. And we're making movies on this now in Peru. Very nice movie. You know. So everybody can do something. Prabhupada says even a dog can take part in this movement and dance. And I always remember that myself. Right? So everybody, doesn't matter what position you're in, you can become the greatest devotee of Krishna like that, and cause the greatest results like that, you know, from wherever you're at. So, any questions or comments about temporary greenery? How much is too much? How many saris is too many? 200 saris, is that too many? Nobody's saying no. Was it Fool Baby or something she had? Somebody, one politician in India, they raided her house and she had something like that. Yeah. Yes, sir.
In the mode of ignorance, we have practically no choices. So does that mean that the person who's very much in the mode of ignorance gets practically no reaction for its activities?
Yeah, you're being forced to experience this. It's just like we're going to put you on the roller coaster and you can't get off. It's like, you sure you want to get on? I want to get on. Okay, you're on. It's the ride for the ride. Did you learn something? Yeah, well, you know, you can try not to, yeah. But even, you're forced to experience these things. Yeah.
So then how much you know, seeing how much people are driven by their own natures and kind of in a particular situation almost destined or forced to react in a certain way, then how much responsibility can we ascribe them, and also how much can we expect them to change? Because if their nature is a certain way and there's a certain situation, you're dealing with them and you know they're going to react in a particular way, then can you hold them responsible for their actions, and can you ask them to change?
His name is Tadvija Swami. He was in charge of our boys' Gurukula for a long time like that, and very successful, many years working with the boys and stuff. And he says, you always remember before he ever started that, he heard something and said, if you take children to a place, there you go, okay.
I know.
Yeah. Being herded. They're being herded out there by the... Okay. If you take children to a place where they will be expected to act like adults, and then they don't act like adults, you know, it's not their problem, it's your problem. Right? Always remembers that. So it's exactly that point. The children are not responsible. You put them in a situation where you know they're not going to be able to control themselves. Yeah, like that. Yeah? So if you're involved in it, you're the criminal, not them. Yes, madam. in the mode of passion, it's difficult. So if you make the right choice, you get more credit. Krishna gives you more credit for what you did. It wasn't so easy. You know?
Yeah.
I would say in this assembly, it's like that.
Yeah.
Go other places, it's, you know, people, you know, they sleep till 10 o'clock in the morning, get up, you know, look for their cleanest, dirty shirt to put on. It's fact, you know, and then do something like this and that, you know, and then get to the bar, and, you know. Yeah.
So we always have some choice.
No, in the mode of ignorance, there's not much.
I'm talking about,
okay.
Yeah. Like you were saying with the holiday situation.
Yeah.
You went to Krishna because you desired to Krishna intervene.
Yeah.
So ultimately, in the mode of passion, we can have some
responsibility. We can, well, okay, another example. Again, it's whole point is to read these things and apply it. You see, oh yeah, okay, now I see what this means. That, you know. So another time I was doing the noon offering in our smaller temple in San Francisco, and somebody cooked a very nice offering. I offered it to Krishna. It was like controlling my mind, you know, think about this. But I knew if the whole Arctic was over, nobody was there at noontime, I was going to eat a lot and get sick, you know. So I had all these techniques, you know, like I transferred the plates very carefully and put it all, you know, trying to satisfy myself by seeing it all nicely arranged. And then Prabhupada says, if you want to eat a lot, eat one thing. If you want to eat a little, eat a variety of things. And you see, it works. When you're hungry, just focus on one thing you need to eat. Eat it until you're satisfied. You know? But if you need to, you know, if you want to try this a little bit, just eat, take a variety of things. So I was doing that, you know, I was chanting all the time. And still, you know, still I ate too much. You know. But I couldn't control my senses, you know. Prayed to Krishna. But I didn't suffer. But my body suffered like that. Acid indigestion, everything else like that. And next time my body was more intelligent, right, about what was happening like that. So certain things, just, you know, another time Prabhupada says that a devotee sometimes has inauspicious dreams like that, you know? You may dream some horrible, ghastly, animalistic type thing you're doing, like sexual relations or something like that, and it's like, you know, wow, it's horrible, you know? But he said, this is because we have these desires many lifetimes to become a buffalo and have this relationship or a pig or something, you know? It's still there. The heart is very deep, like that. So some of these things are coming up. So Krishna is saying, okay, do you want this or not? In a subtle form, you say no. Like that. So many times, the devotee, as you're becoming purified, you start having these inauspicious dreams. But don't be too disturbed, because you're going through many lifetimes in a very quick time. And Krishna doesn't want you to have to take birth again, you know, to experience these things. You know, yeah. It's okay. Yeah. Now, there's the senses. Well, there's the sense objects, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, and the soul. And any of these can be any combination of goodness or ignorance. You can be in a good environment with good senses, purified senses that respond to things nicely. Like that. You can have very, very good thoughts controlling your mind. But in your heart, you can be in the grossest ignorance, like a Buddhist. Ah, some Buddhists. Yeah. Idea of, or Buddhist is that I will become God, right? That's the greatest possible ignorance, right? Yeah, right? I will become God, right? I become rich, I become poor, I become this or that, but to become God is the greatest possible stupidity. But that's the final ambition of some people. So to do that, they do austerities, they clean their house, they control their senses, they control their mind. But in their heart, it's all for, what's it for? What's the whole purpose of all this cleanliness, austerity, purity, mercy, kindness? To become God. And then to enjoy everybody, eat them all. Yeah, that's the conclusion. You know? Now one yogi, he says, my guru has become perfect, he's achieved the final goal of yoga, he left this body, and now he's having sex with every part of the universe at every moment. Like that. He's having sex with the harmonium, he's having sex with the wall, he's having sex with the peacocks, he's having sex with the... Yes. That's, you know, doesn't sound like a good idea, actually. But, so you can see, the ignorance can be, it doesn't have to be, you know, your mind can be in goodness, and so forth, so on, but or your heart can be in goodness, but you just can't control your senses. You know? You can be a good man, a good-hearted man, right? Yeah? You can be a good-hearted person, but you can't, you can't stop thinking these angry thoughts. Yeah. So you see, okay, once you get back to the soul with Krishna, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, like that, you know. You can see what kind of mind and body you got, you know. Yeah. God. Okay. So here. That's it.
Just a follow-up.
Yeah.
Not just a question. I was just thinking of the image of a prisoner.
But some of them are good-hearted, aren't they? Yeah. It could be. Very few. But you see this guy's way. This guy has some mental problem. He just can't come into a certain situation. He just goes nuts, you know. Yeah. But he doesn't like it, you know.
I was thinking from the standpoint from the ministry itself. Really roll out their programs. And there was this idea back in the 70s that knowing that can be developed.
Oh.
And that carried from the 70s to the 80s to the 90s. And you saw a lot of programs in India. Absence of some wow. Just. This guy eventually recanted everything he said.
Wow.
I guess he had some revelation. But this is a general idea now that inmates can't be rehabilitated and they can't change.
Wow.
They can't do anything. So this idea that there's this gross ignorance.
Yeah.
That they're not responsible.
Yeah, yeah.
People are pained there. It's okay for you to kill this person or bless that person.
Yeah. So, we'll keep you locked up or... under control, under monitoring. This is a very complete philosophy and very practical. Bhagavad Gita, when you start to apply it and everything and understand all the Vedas, the content, the British had this whole program to cover all this. They realized how deep it was, how valuable it was, and they used it, but they didn't want anybody else to get it. So if you start looking at all the Dharma Shastras and things like that, it's so profound. You know, they give so much very practical knowledge about how to live your life, how to organize people, what limits are, and things like that. You know? I mean, who's the greatest politician who ever lived?
Chanakya.
Yeah. They compare him to Machiavelli, but people who know both say Machiavelli is like a child compared to Panchanaka. You know, if he actually lived. Yeah. But even now, his profound knowledge of society and people and their natures and stuff like that. I was reading the other day, Chanakya says, it's very rare to find a poor man who's completely honest and a beautiful young girl who's completely chaste. Okay. You go, oh, sorry, but it's the fact, you know. So you understand these things. This is reality, political science. I mean, I don't know if George Bush had the advantage of Chanakya Pandit guiding him in these situations, he may have seen the whole different use of force and everything else like that, you know. Yeah, yeah. You know, solve these things, you know, like that. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this is our, you know, every night, every morning and evening, just, you know, chant Hare Krishna with your family, your friends. Read a little bit like that, discuss it, and gradually you'll become a very, very intelligent person. And always be happy. Very quickly you'll always become relieved from distress. Any situation, you'll, your mind and intelligence will adjust like that. And then Krishna will give you more and more deeper and deeper challenges like that. It's because you have to get all this contamination out. Then finally, it's just like, you know, someone riding a bicycle when you start, it's like difficult, but after a while you take your hands off, you ride, you know? Yeah, you do it, you know? Little children fall down every time, falling down, but for adults it's very rare, you know? Yeah. And if we do fall down as devotees, Krishna will help us, accident. Api chait sudaracharo, bhajate mam ananya bhak. No, sorry, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sadhueva samantavyaha, samyagvi vihitoha. Even some accident will fall down. Krishna will real quickly rectify it. And you'll get out of the temptation like that. So yeah, program tomorrow night in the temple, no? More Bhagavad Gita?
Yes, yes, okay, yeah,
like that. We discuss Bhagavad Gita some more like that. But there's so much to know, so many things to learn, you know? Otherwise, you could keep the same thing, get the same problems again and again. The same Maya gets you the same way again and again and again and again, like that. You never learn, you know, the hard way. You know. Okay, let's chat a little more here. I think it's slipped. Yes, I'm right. It slipped. Maybe it'll work. I'm going to get one set of bellows. You can tell it. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan,
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya
Vrindavan, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan,
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna,
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan.
Jaya Radhe,
Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan.
Shri Govinda Gopinatha Varana
Moha.
Shri Govinda Gopinatha Varana
Moha.
Madana Mohana, Madana Mohana.
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya
Vrindavan.
Shri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Moha. Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan. Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan.
Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan.
Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan.
Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan.
Keshi Gata Bhansi Bhata Dwadashakanan.
Keshi Gata Bhansi Bhata Dwadashakanan. Jahasaba Alila Koilo Shinanda Nanda Jahasaba Alila Koilo Shinanda Nanda Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Shri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Shri Govinda, Gopinatha. Madana Mohan Shri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Hare Krishna Na Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, no Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you all very much. What's your shirt say? What is your shirt say?